From time immemorial, people have been searching for ways to expand their reality using psychedelic drugs. Of course, there's a problem there. It's illegal. But that hasn't stopped people from Timothy Leary to Steve Jobs from using these drugs to probe for deeper answers to life's questions. Cody Swift has always been interested in those big questions. In college, he gravitated towards psychology, and from there, he only continued his trip down the rabbit hole of the human mind. Christine McManigle brings us his story.
What Cody Swift really wanted to study was the nature of consciousness. The search led him to a program at Seattle University, where he earned a master's degree in existential phenomenological psychology. Soon after, he began exploring a whole different avenue toward understanding human nature.
After I graduated with this degree in psychology, it was then that I had a really formative and seminal journey with mushrooms. I'd had a couple of mushroom trips before then, but it was only after having a degree in psychology that I really understood the potential it had for helping us to understand the nature of the mind and how profound of a tool for psychology it could be. I came upon this article about Charlie Grobe's early research at UCLA giving psilocybin to people with cancer. It was helping people overcome the fear of death, and actually that the mediator was loosening our attachment to the sense of who I am, all our memories, all our roles, and psilocybin gives you a transcendent glimpse beyond that and then helps relieve the fear of death, because those are all the things that are threatened at the end of life. And it was just one of the most important transformative concepts I had ever heard. Had been a hospice worker, actually a hospice volunteer, for a number of years, so I was really interested in death and dying, and I'm almost getting emotional and speaking to it, but in society, there's really no tools that we have other than, I would think, meditation that really give us an experiential training on how to reconcile the fact of death in our lives and in our mortality. There's a lot of people who, existentialists and others, who believe that it's the fear of death that drives the majority of our neuroses and anxieties and compulsion to need to acquire excess in our lives to build up this sort of existential fortress against the fear of death that is causing so many problems in the world. And the fact that there could be this tool that doesn't numb from the face of death, but actually allows people to face it in this very deep way that actually allows a healthy and even livened relationship to death. And so that has just been profound and just so touching, really mind-blowing to acknowledge that there's a tool and a therapy that can help people reach those new understandings.
Has your mindset or approach to the concept of death, has that changed since you've been working in this field?
Absolutely. Having subsequently done a lot more psychedelics and have gone through my own personal transformation and journey, intentional ways, I think my own relationship to death has really been affected too.
That research Cody found seemed promising, but it had hardly been followed up on at all. The reason for that is the United States makes it very difficult to study controlled substances. Researchers can forget about federal funding if they want to continue investigating the therapeutic uses of LSD. Cody found that frustrating, and it happens that he was in a position to do something about it. He directs a Kirkland-based foundation run on family money called the River Styx Foundation. Maybe, he reasoned, he could step in and do what traditional funders could not.
So I called up Johns Hopkins and said, "Hey, look, I have this small family foundation. Just let me know if there's any way that we can help you." And they called back almost immediately and said, "Actually, it turns out we started the study without any identified sources of funding. And it was just this incredibly synchronistic moment. And so we began funding the trial all the way through its completion."
When you were talking to these patients, the 12 patients that finished the study, what were their responses?
It's interesting. You know, a lot of them were really able to face their death and cancer in a new way. So a lot of them described in this early phase of their psilocybin journey, and I should say these were all guided journeys. So they had the support of therapists, trained therapists, who helped them prepare and who were with them the entire journey to help them go through any difficult moments. And in the first stage of that journey, a lot of them did have some difficulty. And they kind of moved into this dark space where they felt like they were losing control, losing their sense of identity, and it was really scary. But there was something important in that. A lot of them said it really helped them because it wasn't an antidepressant. It allowed them access to those difficult parts in themselves that they may have been avoiding since their diagnosis or even their whole life. And the name of the paper that I wrote was actually Cancer at the Dinner Table. And that was referring to this one woman who had this incredible vision of her cancer. There was this big round dinner table and there was all these seats at the table. And at the table was actually cancer. It was her cancer and she saw it there and it was so curious to her. What is cancer doing at the dinner table? And she realized that, oh, cancer is a part of life. Cancer is a part of my life. It's a part of my life journey. And it's not this terrible thing that I need to kind of shove out and separate from my life. Cancer is a part of everything, and everything is a part of everything. And she just felt completely freed up that her life didn't have to be divided and compartmentalized in these ways. That was an abiding memory and experience that really touched her on an emotional level that carried with her long after the psilocybin was over.
River Styx continues to fund research. They're working with New York University on treating alcoholism with psilocybin and with Johns Hopkins on giving mushrooms to clergymen. They also fund efforts to end the death penalty, reform criminal justice, and invest in Native American cultural preservation. In Greek mythology, the River Styx marks the boundary between life and death, conscious and unconscious. Cody Swift's River Styx Foundation operates at that boundary, funding work that blurs the line.